Kilda, I'm Ruth and welcome back to the Happy Saver podcast and part four of this special six-part financial independence series. On my blog, thehappysaver.com, I created a comprehensive financial independence series of six blog posts where I mapped out a plan to help you on your way to becoming financially independent. Now, because I know that there are some in my audience who only read my blog and others who only listen to this podcast, I wanted to make sure that both parts of my audience got the same information. So what I've done is I have turned each blog post into a podcast episode. Fear not, it is a temporary change to the regular episodes where I chat with a diverse bunch of people and I learn their story and condense it down so that you can hear helpful, relatable stories from Kiwis who are sharing their experiences, their tips and point of view on personal finance in New Zealand. Today's episode is about KiwiSaver, but before I get into it, I just have a quick word from today's sponsor. I like to think of myself as being onto it when it comes to knowing what my money is up to when I'm not looking, but I can't be paying attention all the time. Thank goodness for PocketSmith. While I was soundly sleeping recently, somebody silently took money for a software subscription I had forgotten I even had. The next morning, coffee in hand, PocketSmith immediately highlighted this transaction. A quick check using their powerful search engine for transactions showed me that a year had flown by since I'd first signed up. Straight away, I contacted the company, cancelled the subscription, and had them reimburse the charge. If you want to find expenses in your budget that you have forgotten, PocketSmith is your secret weapon to regain control of your finances, avoid unnecessary spending, and reallocate funds to more meaningful or essential areas of your life. If you want to supercharge your finances with PocketSmith, have we got a deal for you. Happy Saver listeners get a whopping 50% off your first 2 months of PocketSmith's foundation plan. To get your deal, go to pocketsmith.com/thehappysaver. That's pocketsmith.com/thehappysaver. The fourth part of this six-part series of podcasts is one of the easier topics to cover. It's KiwiSaver. Joining KiwiSaver is a complete no-brainer, and it still surprises me when I meet people who are not in it. I'm always looking ahead and doing my best to determine what I might need money for and how much I might need. I keep my ear to the ground about how affordable retirement is for New Zealanders. I talk to people over the age of 65 and I ask them what advice they would give me about financially preparing for retirement. And then I ask myself if, on my current trajectory, I'm heading in the right direction. Currently in Aotearoa, those over the age of 65 receive a government superannuation payment and your living situation dictates the amount you receive. Therefore, if I meet someone who is not in KiwiSaver, you bet I'm interested in asking them about their financial situation and preparedness for retirement. If they are a single person living alone, I'm curious to find out if they can comfortably live on $496 a week. Or if they are married and both qualify, can they live their best life on $764 a week? Some people can and some people can't. I recently spoke with someone who told me it was an immense struggle for them. I know that as it stands today, our weekly expenses exceed $764. So I need to save up some money to cover the shortfall. Now, the purpose of KiwiSaver is to allow Kiwis to save enough money to bridge that gap between what the government provides and what life actually costs. In the ideal world, we would all just set up investment accounts on our own and just do this. But a large portion of our population has zero clue about how to do that. And with dodgy investment companies ripping off their clients in the past, well, many are scared even to go there. Even though KiwiSaver providers are private companies, the fact that our government set it up gives us a high degree of confidence that KiwiSaver schemes are well run and have a lot of oversight by the IRD and the Financial Markets Authority. There is also the real risk of people doing the right thing by setting money aside for retirement, but then doing the wrong thing by spending it all before they even get there. So therefore, locking cash into a KiwiSaver account is a way to save us from ourselves. It's the government's job to predict the population's future issues, and they saw what I see, a gap between a superannuation payment and what I might spend in retirement. For most Kiwis, KiwiSaver is one of the best tools to help us bridge that gap. So should you join KiwiSaver? Yes. For most, KiwiSaver is an excellent way to ensure you retire with enough money to enjoy life once you cease working. If you join KiwiSaver, unless there are some specific situations that you find yourself in, your money is locked in until the age of 65. This is perfect because I've met more people than I can count who would blow the lot if they could get their hands on it earlier. Locking it in gives people a fighting chance of a better retirement with less financial stress. Of course, there are no guarantees that they won't blow the lot at 65, but I hope that if someone has been studiously adding to their fund and watching it slowly grow over the years, they are less likely to treat it like a YOLO lotto win. The point is to use your KiwiSaver to top up your pension payment. Over a lifetime of working, thousands of small contributions add up to a decent chunk of change. And when you reach retirement age, you can regularly spend a small amount of your nest egg to top up your fortnightly superannuation payment. So how do you build your KiwiSaver account in the first place? You invest a percentage of each paycheck. Your employer also invests a percentage of your pay. The government adds $521 in July each year if you have contributed $1,042. Your KiwiSaver fund compounds and grows due to exposure to the share market and other assets. So this is a quick example showing what my KiwiSaver contributions looked like just last week. I earned $713 after tax because I doubled my hours to cover for a sick colleague. My employee and employer contributions added up to $48. We both contribute just 3%. Each week, I add between $24 and $50 to my KiwiSaver account, depending on my work hours. Around July, the government will chip in $521, and my balance will compound and grow over time. Johnny was self-employed for a long period of time, so he set up an automated voluntary contribution to his KiwiSaver account of $100 a month, and this ensured he added the $1,042 annually. Every July, the government added $521, and his KiwiSaver compounds and grows over time, just like mine. The only thing missing was the employer contribution, but he never let that stop him from signing up. It's very short-sighted to think that KiwiSaver is not worth it if you are self-employed, because you will still get the government top-up and let your contributions grow in the share market. Another life event that often sees people stopping KiwiSaver is if they have children and their income stops. When this was my reality, I made voluntary contributions. Johnny and I have 100% shared finances, so any money that comes into our home, no matter who created it, well, it's ours. And I invested a portion of our take-home pay, around $100 a month, into my KiwiSaver so that I didn't miss out on the government contributions and the years of compounding returns. Now, I'm fully aware that the struggle is real around Aotearoa, with every $100 earned by a person being pulled in a dozen different ways. And sometimes contributing to KiwiSaver gets dropped in favour of making rent, tertiary study costs, mortgage payments, and just general bills. I get that times are hard for many at the moment, but I also know that for many, times are not so hard, myself included. I've spent a long time getting ourselves on a stable financial footing, and this is why we contribute $50 to our daughter's KiwiSaver each month as part of our generosity to others. If you have the means and you have children or mokopuna, think about donating weekly, fortnightly, or monthly to their KiwiSaver fund to give them a head start or keep their balance building at a time when they simply cannot. If they are over 18, voluntarily adding $20 a week to their KiwiSaver account adds up to $1,040 a year, and that's giving them an additional $521 annual government contribution. So how much should you contribute to KiwiSaver? In my opinion, and this is just my opinion, the short answer is more than 3%. Once again, just look around you to understand what others are up to. In Australia, workers and their employers contribute around 20% to their compulsory superannuation scheme. They are not messing around regarding retiring with a healthy superannuation fund. Now, I listen to many American podcasts, and the percentage of take-home pay added to retirement accounts is about 15% plus employer contributions. In New Zealand, so many of us, myself included, set our contribution rate at the lowest possible 3%. More on why I do this shortly. And our employers have done exactly the same. They don't want to pay any higher than they absolutely have to because it adds costs to their business. But we do have other contribution options. We've got 4%, 6%, 8%, 10% of your gross or before tax wage. As an employee, you can choose any rate you like, but it doesn't mean that your employer has to match it. I speak to many people, and 3 to 4% seems pretty standard when it comes to employer contributions, and it takes a masterful negotiator to get them to go much higher than that. But don't let what your employer contributes stop you from upping yours. Let's run through some KiwiSaver scenarios of what a higher contribution rate looks like over time based on a $60,000 income and either a 3 or 10% contribution rate. I've used the sorted KiwiSaver calculator to come up with these. In scenario one, if you have a 3% KiwiSaver contribution based on $60,000 of income, when you get to retirement, that's going to be about $427 per week until you're at the age of 90. In scenario two, if you had a 10% KiwiSaver contribution based on that $60,000 income, well, that's going to be about $958 per week that you can pull out of your KiwiSaver until you are 90. So ask yourself, would you rather have $427 a week in retirement or $958 per week? When you default, as many do, to 3%, you agree to potentially have $576,000 less in your KiwiSaver fund at 65 years old. Is that the future that you see for yourself? So I encourage you to pay yourself first and consider upping your KiwiSaver contributions to a more meaningful amount. And yes, this will mean that you take home less in your pay packet. But if you have listened to the other episodes in this series, you will have freed up some space in your budget to allow for this. And remember, by upping your KiwiSaver contributions, you are not spending the money, you are moving it off into investments that will grow over time. Next, I want to talk about risk. It gets talked about a lot when it comes to KiwiSaver. I think about risk by asking myself, how much money do I want in retirement? Only a small amount? Well, I'll join a conservative KiwiSaver fund. As much risk as I possibly can? Well, I'll join an aggressive or high-growth KiwiSaver fund. There are hundreds of KiwiSaver funds to choose from, and they are spread across a range. You've got defensive or conservative, balanced or growth, aggressive, lower risk, higher risk. Now, Sorted put it nicely when they say, and this is a quote, each fund holds a mix of investments, and which type they fit into is based on how much of the more risky stuff, like shares and commercial property, is in the mix. The more risk you take on, the more potential you have for better results, but your balance will have more ups and downs along the way. Depending on how long you are investing for and your attitude towards the ups and downs that can happen with investing, one type of fund will work particularly well for your situation. End quote. The longer you are a KiwiSaver investor, the more used you will get to the ups and downs of your balance. Now, I've been investing in an aggressive fund since the early days of KiwiSaver and have become entirely nonplussed at the ups and downs of my account balance. It's simply what it does. I'm saving for retirement. Time is on my side. And over the long term, the only way my balance is going is up. So risk is about your attitude. And I'd encourage you to just harden up a bit and understand that when you are in a more aggressive fund, your balance will go up and down more. But over time, your returns should be higher. If you are tracking your net worth, you will see that your KiwiSaver balance will rise over time. Probably one of the trickiest questions is, which fund provider should you use? Now, I've saved the most problematic question till the end because I've got zero financial qualifications. I can't give you financial advice, so I can't say, join this fund, which is no help to you at all. I'm well aware of this. Annoyingly, you will come up against this brick wall time and again. It's on you to do your homework and make a decision. But here is a way around it, a way for you to choose your KiwiSaver fund with some degree of confidence. There is no perfect KiwiSaver provider, so you can cease looking, but many of them are perfectly fine. The fees you pay need to be as low as possible. Look for companies whose fees are less than 0.5%. The fees I pay for my high growth, which is an aggressive fund, are 0.25%. Secondly, when it comes to choosing between a defensive fund and an aggressive fund, just think long term. If you have studiously added to your KiwiSaver for the last 15 years and are retiring next year, you are unlikely to blow the lot on your birthday. The whole point is that you make your KiwiSaver last as long as you do. Therefore, if you retire at 65, you still have, if you're lucky, 35 years to go. That's a long investment horizon. So don't rush to a conservative fund just because you're 65. You may move 1 or 2 years of money into a more conservative fund and use that to top up your superannuation, but keep some money invested and working long-term for you too. Now, given that hundreds of funds do exist, ask your friends whom they invest their KiwiSaver with and listen to my podcast for everyone who shares the provider that they use. Write out a list of providers that you've heard of, the fees and fund types, and then go to Sorted Smart Investor and use their tool to compare those funds. Take just a few hours to educate yourself about what others invest in and why, and then refine your selection, pick one, and just go with that. Although I don't advocate switching providers every 10 minutes, I've actually only switched my provider once, I want you to feel comfortable enough to decide and see it through. But if you want to change funds again, well, you can. If you do a little research and think that you're in the wrong type of fund, that is, it's maybe too low or too high a risk, just go to your provider's website and switch your fund. If you want to change to a different provider, you just go to the new provider's website and they will make the switch for you. The biggest handbrake to your financial success is indecision. So make a choice and get on with it. Update your balance at your monthly net worth check-in and then review your fund choice annually. Now, what about first home buyers, I hear you ask? Well, don't worry, I'm not ignorant of the fact that you can drain your KiwiSaver to buy your first home, but I do want to encourage you not to. Once again, look overseas at how others save for retirement in a retirement account, and they save for a house deposit in a bank or investment account. We are sacrificing our retirement when we drain our funds to buy a home. And I'm teaching my daughter, who is currently age 16, that she can save for both simultaneously. The banking industry has aggressively gone after people's KiwiSaver account balances in order for them to hand out more mortgages. So if you have enough lead time, I'm encouraging you to save for your retirement and your house deposit concurrently. My daughter has a high growth, which is an aggressive, low fee, which is 0.25% KiwiSaver fund, where she invests a portion of her paycheck and we chip in $50 a month too. A retirement fund needs regular contributions over a lifetime for compounding to work the best. And she is also investing in ETF funds outside of KiwiSaver for a home that she may one day buy. You can save for both simultaneously, but it requires a bit of a plan early in life. So I've not gone into all aspects of KiwiSaver, but Sorted has, and I really encourage you to read the Sorted article, How KiwiSaver Works and Why It's Worth Joining. But in a way, my trying to keep it brief is the whole point. Just stop second guessing if KiwiSaver is worth it or not, because it definitely is. For those of you who have followed my blog, The Happy Saver, for a while, you'll remember that Johnny and I both contribute the minimum 3% to our KiwiSaver accounts by choice. KiwiSaver makes up a part of a more comprehensive retirement strategy. We want to retire in our early 50s, so we are investing as much as possible into our non-KiwiSaver ETF investments. We must access our investments before the age of 65, as they're going to provide the income we need to live off. If this were not the case, I would invest a much higher percentage into our KiwiSaver accounts. So despite going about it differently from most, we still invest about 30% of our income, way beyond the 3+3% that most do. Our combined KiwiSaver account balance is now about $200,000, plus we have a significant amount invested outside of our KiwiSaver accounts. Imagine if we'd been on a more traditional retirement path of retiring at 65 instead and had set a higher contribution rate of 10% from the get-go, well, our KiwiSaver balance would be so much higher today. And with 15 years to go until we can access it, it would continue to compound and grow. So I meet a lot of retirement daydreamers. They have a hazy scenario in mind of what retirement might look like, but they have yet to make plans to achieve it other than a vague notion of downsizing the house to release equity. What will they do with that equity is my question, and they just have no idea. But those who have consistently added to their KiwiSaver, they see their retirement pot growing, and they understand how it works, giving them some certainty in retirement of just how much money they will have to top up those superannuation payments. And if a house downsize is in the cards for the future, they know that even after 65, they can add money to their KiwiSaver investment, giving them an even greater nest egg to see them through. So don't just dream about it, join KiwiSaver and actually do it. So that's it for today. If you have enjoyed today's episode and found it helpful, please share it with your friends and whānau. It's the best way that people can learn about what I do and the resources I share. And finally, get out there and korero more about money with your own friends and whānau and help me continue to help others be better with money. So until next time, happy saving.